As you study the scriptures, you will find that they make it pretty clear that every man, woman, and child in the world is in one of two positions. Everyone is either in and of the world, or they are in Jesus Christ. There's no middle ground. There's no third position that one might be in, kind of halfway in and halfway out. You're either in the world, or you're in the Lord. And if you're not in the Lord, you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. So this is, I think it's a very important thing. I should also point out that everyone is born into the world. We're just all born with a sinful nature. It just comes naturally. You don't have to work at being a sinner. You don't have to look for temptation. You don't have to look for trouble. We've all been there. We've all done it. We're all guilty. Those in the world, in other words, those outside of Christ, are already under condemnation and facing judgment. And this is because of our sinful nature, our sinful hearts. It's because also of our sinful conduct. And the conduct is a result of our sinful nature. Paul reminds us in several places that this condemnation that everyone's under ultimately leads to judgment and to destruction in hellfire, the burning lake of fire spoken of in Revelation. And so this is ultimately the destiny for everyone that remains in the world and that does not find their way into the Lord. Paul also reminds us in Romans, he says, there is no one righteous, not even one. So there's not a single person that can think, well, I've lived a really good life. I've given a lot of money to good causes. I've behaved myself. Well, there's no one that can really claim that. There's no one righteous, according to the scriptures. Romans also says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. There's no one that's exempt. And thirdly, Paul said in Romans, for the wages of sin is death. And that's what we deserve. And that would actually be the second death. The second death in Revelation talks about burning in the lake of fire. And that's what we all deserve. Now then, we think about those who are in Christ, and that does not mean that they, or that hopefully many of us, it does not mean that we are without sin. Every human being that's ever been born is a sinner, was a sinner, has been a sinner, and remains a sinner, really, until Jesus comes. But the difference is, those who are in Christ are forgiven. That's the only difference. We're not any better than people that have never heard the name of Christ. We're still guilty of sin, but we've been forgiven. Those sins have been washed away, and when God talks about forgiveness, He talks about our sins being as far away from Him as the east is from the west. They're just totally cleansed, washed away, and forgiven. And so, people in Christ have experienced that first change that's required, their change in position. As far as God is concerned, those in Christ are no longer in and of the world. They're in the Lord. Their names are written in the book of life. In Romans 8:1, Paul said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Also, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And so in Christ, we are forgiven. And so this change in position before God, it takes place at conversion. It takes place once we have believed the gospel message, the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, once we've been repentant and been immersed, had our sins washed away. And so at that time, we change position before the Lord. Now we also need a change in our inner character. We'll never make it into the kingdom of God, even if we have this change in position. If we believe the gospel, are repentant, are baptized, and then continue in the world, then that doesn't just do it for us. There has to be a change in our heart. There has to be a change in our inner character. We're all born with the sinful nature, but when one is in Christ, that sinful nature, it's a constant battle, but it has to be conquered. It has to be defeated. And we have to let the Lord win out in our lives. What man does is an expression of what man is. Character produces conduct. And we'll talk about our conduct and the change needed there in a few minutes. But first, I just think it's so important that we understand, you know, you can work all day on conduct, and if there's no change in one's inner character, the bad conduct is going to return. If you know, when I was a kid in school, there were sometimes fights on the playground, and the teacher would see it and run over and stop the fight, and she'd grab the boys by an arm and say, "Now you boys, stop that, tell each other you're sorry." And the kids knew they had to tell each other they were sorry, but they generally were not sorry. And until there was a change in their attitude about whatever it was they were fighting about, or about this kid that they were fighting, until there's a change in the heart, that fight's going to erupt again. And likewise it is with our conduct. When we have a bad habit in our lives, if there's something that we want to eliminate, we can work on it and work on it and work on it all day long, but that bad conduct is going to come back unless we have a change in our nature, a change in our attitude about it, a change in our character, a change in our inner nature. Jesus said in Matthew 7, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Also, Jesus in Matthew 15, he said, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. It really all begins in the heart. And we can try to eliminate a bad habit, but if there's not a change in the heart, that's going to be a constant battle. And it's probably going to erupt and come forth and be in control of us until there's a change inside our hearts. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. We've probably all, you know, those of us who are adults or homeowners or whatever, anyone who's tried to care for a lawn has probably tried to fight dandelions. And you know, you see a healthy green plant there growing, and you grab that thing and pull it out, and if you know, you grab the whole thing and you think it's gone, if you don't get the root, it's gonna come back. It's just a given. It's gonna come back. And likewise it is, when we try to change a conduct, a behavior in our lives, if we don't get the root out, it's gonna come back. There has to be a change in our heart, in our attitude, in our inner nature, in our character, if we're to defeat or to change, to conquer any conduct that needs changing. The same thing is true with parenting. You know, we can teach our children, and we all do this. We teach our kids from day one. We tell them, you know, you don't want to do this, you've got to do that. Say please and thank you and all those things. And those are all good things. But unless we teach the children about the character, and unless we help them to master that inner core in the heart, then the bad behavior is going to be there, and it's going to come out. Rules, and much of that has to do with building a relationship with mom and dad. Because, you know, you can't be there with them at all times. You can't hold their hand, you know, from day one until they graduate from high school or whatever. And so we need to have a relationship with children so that they will be obedient, so that they will live the right life out of trust and just out of that relationship. There is a saying that rules without relationship equals only rebellion. And this is so true in parenting. I think it's also true just in our spiritual walk. We need a relationship with the Lord. We need to let Jesus Christ be Lord of our lives. Becoming a Christian, you know, changing your standing, your position before God, isn't then just a matter of then getting rid of this bad habit and that bad habit and so forth. It's building a relationship with God and also with His Son, Jesus Christ, and having a tight relationship, and then that allows us to defeat behaviors and conduct that shouldn't be present in our lives. So we need a change in position before God, we need a change in our character, and then finally we also need a change in our conduct. I've already said this, attempting to reform the conduct without a transformation of the character, it's like a doctor who's treating symptoms of a disease and really not able to treat the disease at all. It's like trying to mop up the floor while the faucet is still on and the sink is overflowing. You know, you're getting something done, but it's not going to be successful, and it won't result in what you're hoping to accomplish. And this is why a lot of people are frustrated with themselves in their Christian walk. A lot of people have things in their lives that they're not happy with. They don't like it there, but it's there. And they wish that they didn't do it, but they're weak. If we can build the relationship with Jesus, and if we can establish Him as Lord, as boss of our lives, the controller in our life, of our heart, then we can master the conduct that we don't want to be there. We've often read, and this is even in the Bible, about a dog, and we've probably most of us seen this, how a dog goes back to its vomit. It's the most sickening thing to watch. It makes me gag, but people are like that, and I think Christians are like that if we really don't have Jesus as our Lord. But when He is our Lord, we can stay away from going back to it. We can master the conduct, the behavior. The conduct does have to be changed, but we'll be far more successful if we're aggressive in our relationship and in the changing of our inner character. Okay, let's read from Galatians 5. I want to start with verse 16. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Galatians 5, starting with 16, he challenges the brethren there in Galatia, the church people. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law." In the Lord, when we've been converted, we've changed our legal standing before God, and we're in Christ rather than in the world. But the problem is we still have that sinful nature. It's still present. And so there is this conflict, this fight that's going on until the day that we die. We want to make sure that we feed the one that we want to win. We want to feed the Spirit. We want to live in the Spirit. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk with the Lord. And that will allow us to master the conduct problem. But he goes on to define, in verse 19, he continues to say, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And that goes for people who are in the church as well as people who are in the world. If we're living like this, we're not going to be a part of the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter if we've been converted, if we've been baptized, if we've not mastered these things, if we haven't conquered, if we haven't eliminated these things, Paul says, don't even think that you're going to be in the kingdom. And so the conduct is very, very important. But what I'm suggesting is that we'll master the conduct not just by trying to overcome bad behavior, but we'll master the conduct by making sure that our inner spirit, that our character, that our nature is in tune, is in line with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God, that we're in His control. He goes on to say in 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." These are the things that will be evident in our lives if we're following after the Spirit of God. Peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. That happens in the baptism. When I was baptized, the old John Railton and the old sinful nature, it's like it was dead and buried and gone. Now it's still there, but I'm going to be resurrecting it from time to time if I'm not living for the Lord. So it's still there, but it's symbolically crucified. I need to just make sure it's permanently, or as permanently as can be in this life, done away with and conquered. goes on to say, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. I also want to go to Romans 12, because there's a real good point there that ties in with this. Romans chapter 12, again, it's the Apostle Paul. Again, he's writing to the church. And he makes a real good point about how it is that we can control, that we can master, that we can eliminate behaviors in our lives that we don't want there. But sometimes we give in to them. I'll start with verse 1, Romans 12, 1. Paul said, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And notice this verse particularly. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So he's addressing our conduct, our behavior, our lifestyle. But he goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how it is that we master the bad behavior. We have a change in mind about it. A change in attitude, a change in heart. And it is then that we're able to eliminate things out of our lives that we know should not be there. He goes on to say, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In another passage, and I can't think where it is, but Paul describes three men as far as whether you're in the Lord or not in the Lord. He talks about the natural man who is outside of Christ, and Christ is outside of him. And this man, woman, or child is headed for judgment and for destruction. Then he talks about the spiritual man who is in Christ, and Christ is in him. And this is the goal. This person is headed for the kingdom of God. Not that it'll be an easy journey or you know, there'll be, you can sail right along without any hurdles or speed bumps, but this person is on track. He's in Christ, and Christ is in him, in his heart, Lord of his life. But then he talks about a third man, and that is a carnal man. And there are carnal people in the church, according to the Apostle Paul. The carnal man is in Christ. He's had a change in his standing before God. He's been converted, he's believed and been repentant, been baptized. So he's in Christ, but Christ is not in him. He's not living in such a way as one would to evidence the fruit of the Spirit and to bring glory to God. And so he's in Christ, but Christ is not in this person. And this person, you, if you fall into that category, need to decide who will you serve. And hopefully we would state, as Joshua did in the Old Testament, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This has to be a determination, and it's an ongoing thing that has to continue until the day that we die, or until the day that Jesus comes back. So reformation of one's conduct, I think, can best come after transformation of one's character. What we do is determined by who we are, and what we feed, and what's important to us. Now, fourthly, we need a change in our physical nature. If we're going to experience the kingdom of God, there will have to be a physical transformation from mortality to immortality. Every one of us is mortal. We're born mortal, and we live until we die. And the fact that we are going to die proves that we are mortal. But as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, he said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There will be no mortal person in the perfect age, in the kingdom of God. We can't be there unless we have this complete change, and that change in the physical nature takes place at the coming of Jesus Christ. It is then that we will be like Jesus is now. So we need a change in our standing before God. We need a change in our inner character, our heart. We need a change in our conduct, and we also need a change in our physical nature so that we would become immortal. And that will not happen until the coming of Christ. It is then that the dead in Christ will be raised to life, and they will never die again. Those who are living in Christ at the time of His coming will be changed and made immortal at that time. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, referring to death, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. So this has to happen also if we're to find ourselves in the kingdom of God. And so let me just recap these things a bit. Man's fourfold predicament is it's because of sin and the consequences of sin, but it boils down to four changes that we need to make if we're to be in the kingdom of God. We need a change in our standing before God, a change of position. And this change occurs at conversion, when one believes and is repentant and baptized. Secondly, we need a transformation of our character, our heart, our spiritual nature. This change occurs as we journey through the Christian life, as we mature, as God perfects us and grows us. And then we further need a change in our conduct, and this is our behavior. This change occurs most successfully as we make Jesus our Lord in our Christian walk or life. And then finally, we need a physical transformation from mortality to immortality. And that change will occur when Jesus comes back and when he raises the dead and changes those who are living in him and for him. There are copies of this study in the foyer on that little table where we sign up for things, along with some discussion questions and some personal reflection questions. I'd encourage you to pick one up, and I would hope that you would put some more thought into these things and consider, where are you at in these changes? What changes are accomplished? What are you working on? How is it going? What might you do to better accomplish the change in the inner character or in the conduct? So I would encourage you to put some further thought into these thoughts.